Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. We need you. We need you today more than we did yesterday, Lord. So much going on, Lord. We're just praying for healing with all the sickness and the viruses going around, Lord. Heal us, protect us, keep us, cover us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us for the work ahead, for the sharing the gospel, Lord, and the witnessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of making disciples and building the kingdom of God here on earth, Lord. Strengthen us for the journey ahead. We thank you. We bless you. Thank you for your word. We know that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. We thank you that your word is it's a light, it's a lamp, and it's a life. And life, it said, it leads us, it guards us, and it talks with us, Lord. Speak to us now through your word, Lord. We thank you and we bless you, Lord. We love you for your word. Thank you for the blueprint, the roadmap on how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to speak, how to love. Everything is in your word. Open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to us today. And we love you, Lord, and we bless you for rescuing us and for saving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look forward to celebrating Christmas, which is the day dedicated to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first off, we know that Christmas, December 25th, was not the day that Christ was born. Somebody say amen. So don't waste time arguing with your coworkers and your classmates and folks who just want to argue about anything, never want to accept the truth of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, but want to argue about the minor details. So use this as an opportunity to keep the focus on Christ and help point people to the way, the truth, and the life. So use Christmas as that. When the family gets together, and don't argue about whether Christ was born. I think I said it before, I'll say it again. The most important question to ask someone is, have you been born again? That's the question, amen? We're not going to argue about whether Christ was born or not. Let's focus not so much on the baby Jesus, let's focus on the resurrected Savior. And let me ask you, have you been born again? Amen? Let's not take the focus off the importance of our resurrected Savior that died for our sins and gave us a way back home to God. And then also there's an assignment that Jesus gave us to until he returns or until he brings us home. And that's to make disciples and build the kingdom of God here on earth. That's our assignment. The scriptures make it clear, by the way, let them know, the scriptures make it clear that Jesus Christ was not born at all. That Jesus Christ is God. Somebody say amen. So make a note. Don't get caught up arguing about the baby Jesus, because when he comes back, he's not the lamb, but he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it's going to be a totally different story. Ask them if they've been born again so they can have the opportunity to get saved and rescued now before they have to deal with the lion of the tribe of Judah, the resurrected Savior. So if you would, look at verse 1 so we can be clear as what the scriptures say. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Let me say that again. In the beginning, whenever God decided to start this whole earth thing, or whenever God decided to start the universe, in the beginning, at that time, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word with God, the Word being God, the Word is God. Amen? Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's powerful. Amen. There's nothing made, nothing was created that God didn't create. So we didn't create God. God created us, and God created everything. You know, they teach in the science books the Big Bang Theory and all, that all this came from nothing. It's totally contrary to the word. But when you don't want to live right, when you don't want to get your life right with Christ, then you'll make up any theories on how things got started. But the Bible is clear. At first they thought that, you know, they were just one cell organisms that just came and developed. And then they see that inside, not only inside one cell is a billion of other cells. They're very complex. No way it could have just happened. Something had to create it. And we know that nothing, that something cannot come from nothing. Amen? Well, they say the comparison is you go to a junkyard, you throw some junky cars together, and you get a brand new Mercedes-Benz. Just by throwing them together. That's what they're trying to get us to believe. The word is clear. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, because darkness never wants to understand light. That's why it's so hard when you're trying to live right. Your friends just don't get you. Something's wrong with you. You're too holy. It doesn't take all that. Because we know that the light exposes the darkness. Darkness never wants to be exposed, so it stays away from the light. Take a look at 1 and 14 so we can see the connection. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? We did, the scripture said that. Then when we look at 1 and 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So wait a minute. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we might as well say, and God became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? Amen. Here's Jesus Christ becomes God and dwelt among us. Bless you. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ was full of grace, full of truth. Did all types of miracles. Told him he was the way, the truth, and the life. He told him, if you destroy this in 3 days, I'm going to build it back up. And they destroyed it, and he resurrected on that third day, full of truth. Everything he said came to pass and will come to pass. The disciples, they didn't understand it when he was there, but after he resurrected, he talked to them. They understood it clearly. And that's why they died. And on their lips during their death was Jesus Christ as Lord, and he's the resurrected Savior. Don't get caught up with the baby Jesus. Point them to the resurrected Savior that died for their sins. And give them the opportunity either to accept it or to reject it. And then they live with their decision, and they die with their decision. And they face God based upon their decision, because we have free will. So we use Christmas, we use New Year's as an evangelistic tool to point people to the resurrected Savior. Amen? Not to argue about a day when he was born. As miraculous as the birth was, but the job still had to be finished, family. He could have been born, but if he did not get crucified and resurrected, then we don't have salvation today. You know, I've had talks with people who say that Jesus couldn't have committed a sin. That's, yes, he could have, because he was, although he was God, he had on this human flesh. Bless you. Because if Jesus did, if he wouldn't have been able to commit sin, then he couldn't tell us he knows exactly what it's like when we're dealing with temptation and frustration and distraction and sins. Then that means he had marked cards, he had loaded dice where he couldn't lose. All right? And so since we don't have that, then dude, you can't hold me accountable, because you had, your cards were marked. If you couldn't sin, then you can't hold me accountable for my sin. I try to say, no, he could. He couldn't sin. He could have, because he had on the flesh, and he was God. And he had to get through. And so he was made flesh and dwelt among us, right? And this is why I just wrote down some things I'll share with you. So Jesus could relate to us on every level. So God could relate to us on every level. Physically, remember when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was tired and he was hungry. Some of you, I ain't looking at nobody, but some of y'all this morning, y'all look tired and hungry. Amen. I'm looking straight up. I ain't calling no names. He could relate. 40 days and 40 nights, he was tired and he was hungry. So we can't tell Jesus, you know, you don't know what it was like to be tired and hungry and walking around and dealing with stuff. You can't tell him that. When we stand before God, you can't tell him that. Emotionally, Jesus cried when his friend died. When Lazarus died, he cried. He felt it. It hurt him. He was disappointed when his friends and family rejected him. He had to deal with it just like we have to deal with it. That's why he came down. So we'll never be able to tell God, point our finger in God's face, you don't know what it's like. That's not true. He does. Mentally, he had to deal with one of his friends who he knew would betray him, who he knew would stab him in the back. Amen? You can't tell God, well, you don't know what it's like to have people that's two-faced, that's haters, that's out to get you. It's like, no. You ever heard of Judas? I had, and he was in my circle. And I knew it. And mentally, I got to treat him like I'm treating everybody else, but I know he's going to betray me and stab me in the back. And I still got to love him. And guess what? I still got to go to the cross and die because he might want to get saved one day. And then not only for him, but because for us, while we were yet sinners, Romans 5 and 8 says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us because he knew that we didn't care about him. And before we got saved, we betrayed and rejected him, but he still went to the cross and died for us. So don't say he can't deal, he doesn't know how to deal with us mentally because he was there too. Physically, emotionally, and mentally. And then spiritually, he can relate because he knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be offered the shortcut. Make a notice in Matthew 4. Start with 4 and 4. And Satan's offering the shortcut. He's saying, look, you don't have to. He's saying, I know you're tired and hungry, but go on and turn these stones into bread. Man, you God, do your own thing. He know what it's like to be offered the shortcut. Whether that's drugs or sex or bribes or infidelity, whatever it is, he knows what it's like to be offered the shortcut. Satan told him, you don't have to die on the cross. If you worship me, if you worship a false god, I'll give you all this. Man, you ain't got to go through all that. You don't have to get married to have a baby. You don't even need a man to have a baby. Just have a baby, you take care of yourself. You ain't got to deal with all that. As a matter of fact, you don't even need a man. We two women, we can hook up. We don't even need a man these days. Take the shortcut. You don't have to do it God's way. And men, you don't have to get married. Man, you can do whatever you want to do. You can sleep with whoever you want to sleep with. And have a kid and don't even have to take responsibility for it. Just go and do your own thing. You don't even know if it's your baby anyway, man. Just do your own thing. I mean, that's what Satan, it's the lies that he told Jesus, and Jesus had to deal with it spiritually, just like we have to deal with it spiritually. We will not be able to point our finger in God's face and say, man, you don't know what it's like. The Word was made, God was made flesh and dwelt among us, which was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be the one that's going to judge us. And you think you're going to point your finger in his face and tell him you don't know what it's like to deal with racial, racism. And they told him he was a Samaritan and he had a devil. Caught him the N-word and told him he was filled with the devil. Family, you hear what I'm saying? We're not going to get around this. That's why when we stand before Jesus, he has the nail prints and all that, and he says, okay, tell me about it. So tell me what was going on with you. and why you couldn't serve me, why you couldn't share the gospel with someone. Just let me know. And you go, well, you know, oh, it was rough out there. Seriously? Seriously? It really was. You know how long I hung on that cross before I died? It was rough out there. So tell me again what it was like and why you couldn't. So family, as we celebrate Christmas, did I say Merry Christmas? Am I too heavy today? It's supposed to be like Christmas time. Should we be like celebrating in Christmas? Am I too heavy today? But as we're celebrating Christmas, don't lose the focus. Man, celebrate it. But share Christ with someone. Share love with someone. Share some grace with someone. Because, man, I'm telling you, family, it's just, it's rough out there. And working at Long Beach Jordan High School, I didn't know the teacher. But last weekend, she had a seizure, and this weekend, she's gone. I was talking to the principal. She said, we were just talking. We were supposed to have lunch together. And she didn't make, so, I mean, we just don't know how, like I said, I didn't know her, so I they didn't show me a picture, so I still don't know who she is, so I don't know what her spiritual relationship with Christ, I don't know any of that, but all I do know is that things change overnight. And anybody you have the opportunity to share Christ with, you need to share. And it's not about a baby being born and what day, it's about have you been born again. Oh, yeah, let me show you that. Yeah, amen, amen. Look at, let's go to John 3 and 3. No, John 3 and 1. So let me finish my thought as you're turning on spiritually how Jesus relates to us, because he knew that he had to sacrifice his agenda spiritually, right? Listen to the spiritual connection with us. He had to sacrifice his agenda and complete God's will for mankind. Christ had to resist temptation so that God would be glorified and not the enemy, Satan. So physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, it's not anything we can tell God where he's going to say, you know, that, oh, I didn't know that happened to you. Shucks. Boy, come on in. You know, if that would have happened to me, I get it. Had to deal with physical abuse and verbal abuse. Got slapped up, got spit on, got the crown of thorns on his head, got talked about. What are we going to tell him? You don't know what it was like to go through to deal with humans? Because y'all know we can be something else. That's why Jesus said, let me come down. I got to deal with him too. Otherwise, he couldn't tell us. He'd say, it was no other way. Family, you look, that's the only way. And then he shed his blood for us and resurrected and saved us and rescued us. And then he tells us in John 3, you're John 3 and 1? Yes. All right, so you know, you always have to keep it in context. John 3 and 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he's high up, Jewish ruler. And he says, and he came to Jesus by night. Right? So maybe he didn't want to be seen, but it just lets you know that you can come to Jesus night or day. Somebody say amen. At the end of your rough day, come right to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. And let him know, just like Nicodemus said, and Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that come from God. Somebody say amen. For no man can do these miracles, these signs that you've done, except God be with him. So make a note of that. So I had to try and figure out what is Nicodemus talking about. So let's go back just a little bit. And in chapter 2, Jesus changes the water to wine. All right. So Nicodemus witnessed that at the wedding. But then what really caught my eye was 2 and 13. And Jesus and the Jews, Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money. So he came into church, saw us taking the offering. Amen. Pretty much, right? Then he made a scourge, a whip with small cords, and he started whooping butt and kicked him out of church. That's what he did. And then Nicodemus said, man, nobody can do the stuff you're doing except God sent him. But think about it. He comes into church around offering time and sees that it's a bunch of charlatans and hirelings in there. He kicked them out. Probably do the same at some churches today. Somebody say amen. It's nothing new. And we're talking about the Good Shepherd. So we know it's nothing new with them going to church and trying to take people's money. Amen? It's nothing new with people going to church or the church leadership playing games with the money. Amen. They did it back then, they do it now. That's why we're totally transparent with what we do, because we never want to fall into that trap, because you're never above it. Amen? Amen. But then here, don't miss out on the fact that people want to paint Jesus, ooh, nice little tiny, teeny tiny baby. He put together a whip and started kicking butt. Oh, Jesus was all about love and just love, love. Man, he wasn't loving right there. He was kicking butt and kicking you because you're cheating the people. So don't let people give you this misconception that Jesus was some type of punk or he was soft and he was just smoking weed with a flower shirt, loving everybody. It's totally contrary to the scriptures. People are going to have to deal with the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to kick some butt. He's going to tell you, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't make it. I don't have a relationship with you. I never knew you. We never talked. We never hung out. And we have to stop lying to people thinking everybody's going to RIP. They're not. If you don't live in peace with the Prince of Peace, you're not going to rest in peace. You got to first live in peace now with Christ, so when you transition, you just go to rest with Christ, with the Prince of Peace. The enemy has lied to us. People die, and we can't judge because only God knows the heart. But we do know we have to investigate and inspect the evidence, which is the fruit. Has to be some evidence that you have a relationship with Christ. Has to be some evidence. Then we got to guess. So, Pastor, that's the toughest thing for me. Get a call from somebody and they want me to do somebody's service, and I'm asking if they're saved, and they say, well, they went to church, but I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you that because I got to. And then I tell them, all I know is Jesus Christ. That's all I'm coming. Well, that's why I went to. Okay, then. So I'm coming to speak to those that's going to be there. I'm coming with the whip. Because that's the only time some people come into church. And you got to let them know the real. But we can't make people save. That's the decision that people have to make on their own. So Nicodemus, he tells him, you have to be from God. But let me see, it was another verse I wanted to read. Let me see. Did I want to read another verse? Look at verse 16. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Cheating people, because you know the Passover, they got to kill the sacrifice, paint the post in the side of the doors, and they overcharging people and ripping people off. He said, man, this ain't you got it mixed up. Whip their butts, get out of there. Verse 19, Jesus answered, said unto them, when you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and will you tear it down in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. Come on now. Look at verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered this. Oh, man. That's what he was talking about, that he said that unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. That's what he meant. This dude's rest. He told us, man, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. They're thinking he's talking about a building like it took 46 years to build this thing. How are you going to rebuild it in 3 days? They didn't understand he's talking about his body. So make a note. I wrote this down. So Jesus left heaven and dwelt among us, right? Jesus is the only person that left heaven, came to earth, told us what heaven was like and how to get there. Everybody else is guessing, everybody is making stuff up. Let me say it again. This is what makes Jesus so powerful. This is what makes the resurrection so powerful. You have to start with the resurrection. All this other stuff is inconsequential if the resurrection didn't happen. Jesus is the only person, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Gandhi, not the Hinduism, none of it, not Islam, none of it claims. That's why you got to research it, because everybody's saying stuff that you got to work to get to heaven. Jesus Christ is saying, you don't have to work, just accept me, I've already done the work. He said on the cross, it's finished. It's a difference, we're not the same. It's not the same. He drew the line in the sand and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The only way is because I died for you, is the only way is through me. Because none of those other ones died for you. That's why you have to start your investigation at the resurrection. That's why you can't be arguing about baby Jesus. Start with the resurrection, because the baby Jesus don't mean nothing if he didn't resurrect. I don't argue with people about, I go right to the resurrection. I'm not going to argue about what day he was born. I'm not going to argue about that. Let's talk about, did that happen? And then you present the circumstantial evidence. You present the proof of the resurrection. How the world turned upside down after Christ resurrected. So let me say it again. This is what makes Jesus so special. And no other person can claim this. Not to mention that when we celebrate the new year, is it because Christ split time in half and we go from BC to AD, and it's going to be 2020 years since Christ split time in half. I don't even know if he existed. What are you talking about? He split time in half. A lot of good people died, but they didn't split time in half. Only God can do that, Brother Jerry. God stopped time and started over. And that's why we're in 2020. So, okay, all right, Pastor, I told y'all I'm all over the place. I'm gonna have to be quiet in a minute. Let me finish this, all right? Jesus is the only person that left heaven, and he says this is scripturally based, it's scripture. Only person that left heaven, came to earth, told us what heaven was like and how to get there. Family, you gotta trust something. You gotta worship something. Do your research. Then he died and resurrected and said, see, I told you. I have power over death. All authority is given unto me. Now go and tell everybody about this. Make disciples. Preach the word. Don't let them get caught up in all this other garbage. That's a mirage. It's not real. Tell them about heaven and how to get there and what Jesus Christ did and died for their sins. He spent 40 days with his disciples after he resurrected. Spent 40 days with them. That's why you couldn't shut them up. That's why when they preached in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 3,000 people got saved. And they left the temple and started a church. See, that's the evidence. We're in a church today. Why? Because they left the temple and started a church. 3,000 people got saved. And instead of doing the Passover, now they do communion and baptisms. And they preach the word of God, and they talk about Jesus Christ and him being resurrected. There's no evidence of Christ being alive. We're in a church today. That's the evidence. The Jews, they were practicing for thousands of years. Their traditions. Christ resurrected and it changed. You just don't change your tradition for anything. That you've done thousands of years for a hoax? Thousands of people? We can't agree what restaurant to go to today after church. I say, hey, y'all, we're going out to eat. And you say, I want to go here. I want to go. Oh, I don't like that. I'm saying, you know what I'm going to say after that? Forget it. Okay? No. Y'all go. I'm going home. Y'all go where y'all want to go. But all of a sudden, all of us going to agree that Christ resurrected. We're going to start a church for a hoax. I'm not doing it. And plus, people want to kill us behind it. I'm not doing it. You got to understand the circumstances. You will get convicted on circumstantial evidence because it's overwhelming. The resurrection can be proven, has been proved, based on the circumstantial evidence. It happened, family. So we're so passionate about it. All right, let me finish this and then I'm going to be quiet. Okay, let's go back to John 3 and 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Please, tonight go to Jesus and just tell him how much you love him and how thankful you are that he saved you and rescued you from death, hell, sin, and the grave. And Jesus, I'm still struggling with some stuff, but I love you. And you did for me what I couldn't do for myself. We've had a study yesterday with the men on David and David's life and everything that happened. But here's the difference, family, between David, why David was a man after God's own heart, because David stayed connected to Christ through his ups and downs. And when he was showed the error of his way, what he did with Bathsheba, he immediately repented. Make a note. Read Psalms 51 tonight. And Dave said, God, I messed up. But don't take your spirit from me. I know you don't want offering. You want someone who's real in their heart, connected to you. And I'm sorry. David did some treacherous stuff. By the way, if you haven't noticed, in your own life, you've done some treacherous stuff. We've all have.
Right.
What's the difference? God, I blew it. Whew, God, I don't know. I'm trying. Man, God, I don't think I'm going to make it, though. Because I can't do right. I just keep doing what I don't want to do. But God, I love you and I need your help. I'm coming to you by night, letting you know I love you and thank you for saving me. And thank you, Lord, that it's not based on works, because if it was based on works, I'd never get to heaven. Because I blow it every day. Thinking about stupid stuff every day. And every now and then I do something stupid. Thank you that it's not based on works. Because we ain't none of us getting there. But once you get saved, you should work for God. Somebody say amen. All right, let me see where I'm at here. Okay. All right, where's that? Verse, let's go to 3:3. Jesus said, man, I guarantee you. Jesus said, I guarantee you. Except you be born again, except you accept Jesus, unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not getting into the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. You can't get there. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? I don't know if Nicodemus was being funny or if he just didn't, you know, he just didn't understand. What are you talking? How can you be born again? Jesus told him. Verse 5, I guarantee you, except a man be born of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot. Highlight that if you haven't already, family, highlight that. Except a person be born of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You're not getting in without accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Verse 6, that which is born of the filthy flesh is filthy flesh. I added that other part in there. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, you can't be surprised, I said unto you, you got to be born again. Amen? You can't be surprised that God is telling all of us that we have to be born again. Okay, some people are acting surprised. Point to your neighbor and tell him, no, you can't be surprised, okay? I wasn't even with you last night, but I'm telling you, you can't be surprised that you can't go like you are. You couldn't be. The way we grew up, are you surprised? You couldn't be surprised that we got to be born again in order to get there. I ain't gonna even look at you, Tommy, because you know. And Maurice, we did grow up together. I ain't gonna even, you know. Are you surprised that you couldn't be surprised, Mickey? Jesus telling you, what are you looking all surprised? You think you can go in like that? But look, imagine if we could go into heaven just like we are without being born again. It'll be Earth 2.0. It'll be the same thing. We just transfer there doing all the stupid, crazy stuff because we ain't been born again. You can't be surprised. Let's finish with this. Verse 12 and 13. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, you can't even believe the stuff I done told you now. How should you believe if I tell you of all the stuff that's going on up there in heaven? Jesus said, you're not on my level. You want to be, you think, but you're not. You don't even believe the earthly stuff I tell you. I haven't even told you what goes on up in heaven. Verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down. Remember, Christ is the only one that was in heaven, came down to earth. Said, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And he's still in heaven because it's part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only one. When we what a Christmas season. What's something to celebrate? A risen Savior, a Savior that was in heaven, came down, told us how to get there, and then made a way for us to get back to God. That's a true Christmas salvation story. So when with your family, tell that story. And don't get caught up with a baby Jesus and when was he born. And that's where we got to stop.
Amen.
And let us just bow our heads. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. God, thank you for the evidence that you left. So if we just did a little bit of research, we will see that you resurrected, saved us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We didn't have to work for it, we just have to receive it. So we all just ask, Lord, thank you, and we ask that, Lord, you continue to live within our heart. Mature us, grow us up, give us the strength, give us the courage to share the good news, not to browbeat anybody, but just share the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People want to talk about politics and all that, just let them know I don't really concern myself with that because I serve a king. I pray for the president and I serve a king, a risen Savior. I can tell you about that. How about the one who came from heaven to earth, told us how to get there, resurrected, and went back, and is on the right hand of the Father waiting for us to join him. We're heirs with the Father, joint heirs with the Son. We are a family. We are one. We have the Holy Spirit, which is our down payment. This Holy Spirit is the down payment that's going to be cashed in and bring us right back to heaven to receive our full inheritance. Oh, God, thank you. Let us share the good news of the gospel with anyone who will listen, in love, in grace, in power, every opportunity we get. Pray for our family members that are coming in for Christmas, that are traveling. Cover and keep them, Lord, from danger seen and unseen. May we extend grace. May we extend love at our table, in our heart, with our family, with our kids, with our grandkids, with our siblings, with our parents, with all those that we come in contact with our church family. Let us extend love and grace. We're so grateful for today, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we bless you. Thank you that you have come, and you did come, and you have given us life, and that more abundantly. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Stand to your feet. Give